Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with J.D. Cecilia, Director of the DoD Lean Six Sigma Program Office. Also joining us in our studios from IBM is Monica Painter. J.D., we've talked about how the Lean Six Sigma methodology is about achieving breakthrough change. Again, this notion of exponential as opposed to incremental. But with this, could you elaborate on some of the current barriers to real change within your department, and what are you doing to break some of these barriers down?
Sure. That is one of my focus areas right now. In fact, we are looking to find out what it is that's stopping us from getting breakthrough. What we're looking to is exponential returns, like the MRAP, going from 5 to 50, you know, going from 700 and some days down to 200 and some. Those are the type of things we're looking at that demonstrate exponential. That's what the methodology is best suited for. So one of the areas that I needed to focus on, exponential returns. And we really broke it down into four categories. These were the four barriers that we believed are keeping us from achieving those exponential returns. The first one and the most important one is strategic alignment. A lot of smart people, experienced people, of people who have been doing this for years have written some very informative and insightful documents that basically set the course for the Department of Defense in the form of a strategic guidance document. And there's a number of names of those. There's several of them out there. But what's happened is there's been a gap between the issuance of this guidance, the distilling of the information, and then the analysis of that information, and then the measurement of where we are in the performance and identifying what the gaps are between the desired performance level and our baseline level. And that gap is what we're trying to close. So what we want to do is we want to select our projects that have a direct impact on closing that gap. Now, these are not five-minute fixes. These are projects that are usually very lengthy, very complex. So I firmly believe that once we understand strategic alignment, we can start to close that gap. The second area that I believe is keeping us from having exponential returns is the consistency of approach. And that is, everybody is looking at these problems on the same page, and they believe that there is a very standard way to approach this. Now, the history behind the consistency of approach problem started several years ago when the services, agencies, and activities who were not told to do this, they were not directed to do this, but some very forward-thinking individuals and some innovative leaders that came from private industry or had experience or had witnessed it some other place said, you know what? I've got the authority to initiate this methodology in my command, my installation, or my depot, and they did it, and they had great results. And so you have all these pockets throughout the Department of Defense that have initiated Lean Six Sigma or some form of CPI. We're all geared toward the same thing, and that's process improvement, but we're going about it with enough variation that keeps us from having a unified effort. My objective is to get to a certain level of consistency. The third piece, and that's integration. If we're all speaking the same language and we all are using the same kind of terms and taxonomy, and we're all inputting our information into an integrated IT solution, then they go to a web-based tool and they can scan the entire Department of Defense looking for something similar to their problem. And once again, if you start off with the 60 or 70% solution of where it's been solved before, you cut your cycle time of your projects down by months. It's applying the same methodology to our deployment that we would to the process we're trying to fix. And then the last piece is addressing the human capital, and that is, how are we codifying our skilled practitioners? How are we identifying them throughout our system? How are we hiring them? What are the qualifications that we should use as a standard across the department?
You know, in the last segment, I believe you mentioned some 10,000 projects. So what are some of the critical questions that an organization should ask itself before implementing a Lean Six Sigma initiative? And are there any preconditions that you look for in order to be successful?
That is a great question, and one that I think everybody should know the answer to before they start. And my number one response to that would be, does the leader really believe in it? As the leader goes, so does the organization. Even if it's for just a period of time, the leader has the ultimate responsibility for ensuring that this methodology is successful. And it's a leadership responsibility and a burden that they bear as a leader.
Do
J.D., we often hear that innovation is about creating, capturing, and delivering value and doing it with passion. But there are some critics who say process management helps improve existing products and routines, but can actually hinder an organization's ability to innovate. Does Lean Six Sigma, from your perspective, tend to stifle innovation, meaning, you know, also does it foster a low tolerance for risk because risk increases variation?
I love that question. That is usually the one that the naysayers will say during the initial segments of introducing Lean Six Sigma. And the truth is that nothing could be further from the truth, because the people who would make the claim that, that this methodology stifles innovation have never been part of a project that solved a problem or fixed a process, because there is a prescribed sequence of events that occur. You have to go by phases in order to get to the solution. And so what happens is at some point you have a blank page. It says, okay, we've identified the process. We've measured the information that was out there. I think we identified what the critical root causes of the problem were. And now we got this great blank page. Knowing all that we know right now, how would you design the world-class process? Now, I don't know how anybody could say that would stifle innovation. The only thing that would stifle innovation is their own imagination.
Sure.
Because you have a blank page now. You can say, and we did this in the adjudication facility process of how we would get the absolute world-class adjudication for someone's security clearance. So it was a blank page. So we didn't say, let's take existing technology or existing IT solutions. Let's design the world-class process. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to force the IT guys to support it. Bend whatever you've got for technology to support this process. So now it's the other way around. Instead of taking last year's idea on IT and fitting a process to it, we're taking the world-class process and telling you go out in the future and find whatever technology is available or is emerging to support my process. Same thing with policy. People say, well, I can't do it because of policy. Well, then why don't we change the policy? That's a little more innovative than just saying, let's stick with the policy that was made in 1947. Right. So we are turning it on its head. When people say it's not innovative, we say, why? And then we go attack those problems as well. Well, why is that policy still in effect? Isn't it time for a review? And there's other components to the methodology. We have what they call a design for Six Sigma. And that's where there isn't an existing process, but there is a requirement to produce something. Once again, you go through similar steps, but at the end of the day, there is nothing that stifles your imagination. You can be as creative as you want, and then you have to go and find out what's in the realm of the doable. And if there is a time constraint, then you have to scale back to meet your time. But essentially, if you don't have those kind of constraints, you can actually design the world-class process without any hindrance.
So it's all upside. Nothing bad can come from it.
Nothing. Now, the only bad thing that could come is if you did it incorrectly. If you don't follow the directions, like a recipe in a cookbook, you know, you do so at your own risk.
Okay, let's transition to governance. Could you tell us about the governance structures in place around Lean Six Sigma and continuous process improvements? Specifically, what is the Defense Business Systems Management Committee, DBSMC, and how it is important to the department's overall business transformation efforts?
A couple of things about governance. First, as you mentioned, the DBSMC, it was established by Section 2222 of the Fiscal Year 05 National Defense Authorization Act. It is chaired by the Deputy Secretary of Defense, so you have a very high-level review. It's got senior representation of undersecretaries of defense and chiefs of services. And really what it does is it helps manage any sort of business system investment of greater than $1 million. And their purpose is to make sure that it's both compliant with the business enterprise architecture and it's also needed to support a priority national capability. So what they've done is they've said, okay, I'm going to take some very high-level people and I'm going to review these initiatives to make sure they're in compliance and that they follow the strategy that's been set forth in the business enterprise architecture. A little bit lower than that, you have a number of other boards and groups that meet and committees, et cetera. Around Lean Six Sigma, now Lean Six Sigma will have its projects reviewed by the DBSMC when they reach a certain level, an enterprise level. But below that, we have a senior steering committee, which is the chiefs of the services representatives, usually at the executive level, agencies and activities that have programs, and then representatives from the undersecretary level. So we have another committee that takes a look at how the deployment is progressing throughout the Department of Defense. And then each service has its own governance. So there is lots of governance and policy and direction and guidance throughout the Department of Defense, culminating with the DBSMC at the Deputy Secretary level.
We've talked about the need to embed Lean Six Sigma into the organization's DNA. I would assume this requires a complex training strategy. And as you mentioned earlier, the DepSecDef's first priority and mandate was around a training goal and objective. Could you tell us about the training and education efforts within DOD? Specifically, can you describe the Lean Six Sigma certification levels and what's your certification strategy going forward?
As I mentioned earlier, that's a good question because when you start looking at how you're going to deploy this methodology, you have to look at the things that take the longest to get done and start them immediately. Training falls into that category. At the green belt level, which is your introductory level for practitioners, it's 40 hours of instruction. That takes a full week. And the way we've worked this is that they come to class with a project that was selected by their leadership and approved by their leadership as being important to them. They go through the 40 hours, they are tested at the end, and then they complete a project. Those are the three requirements for a green belt to get certified: classroom attendance, completion of the test, and completion of a project. The next level, so as you can see, there's at least 1 month, because since we only run one class a month, there's a month right there that's dedicated toward that project. The next level is called black belt, and that requires 160 hours spread out over 4 months. Now, the way we are working this to maximize some efficiencies is we have them attend the green belt class first. That's 40. And then they get their other 120 in the subsequent 3 months, 1 week each month.
It's cumulative.
Exactly. So what you have, though, is you have a time requirement to be a black belt of 4 months worth of training. So you're not going to create a black belt in less than 4 months. That's just the training component. And then they have to complete two projects. So if each project takes roughly, 3 to 6 months, you add those on top of that. So you're looking at about a year for a black belt to go through their requirements. Now, there's exceptions, of course, and they can go faster. Most of them take a little longer than that. But the point is, you're looking at a year before you get a certified black belt. So if you're setting up a deployment and you want to have X number of certified folks, you better start looking at what the requirement is to get there. So that's really what we did. We started with the training class. In fact, we started running training before the office actually stood up because we realized that had to get started immediately. The next thing we took a look at were the standards and the requirements for the curriculum. Well, the easiest thing to do there was look at the Army, Navy, and the Air Force curriculums and find out what they're doing. And when you lay those next to each other, you find out there's 95% commonality and about 5% difference. So what we did is we took the best and the most common 95%, and we codified that as the OSD standard for our training curriculum. So we practice what we preach in that we didn't go out and invent a curriculum. We took best practice, what was already in use, what was working, what had a history of success. So we cut down curriculum development by years by using an approved curriculum that the services were using.
So, JD, I only have a minute left, but there's something that you said earlier that struck me, and that was this whole notion of knowledge sharing across the various programs and offices and projects. And I know for many organizations, knowledge management, knowledge sharing is a little bit like the Holy Grail. No one's quite gotten there yet. So I'm curious, what are some of the activities or best practices around Lean Six Sigma that you're employing from a knowledge sharing perspective across the DoD organizations?
That is the really, as you mentioned, the culmination of improving the culture of understanding how you can get this information, of how you can find out what someone else has already done. We recognize that being as one of the most important aspects, the integration. We called it, we incorporated that into our integration aspects. But what we did is we first of all set up a DoD-wide workshop. We brought all of the deployment leaders together. We came to understand what were the common barriers. Integration was one of them. So the next thing we did is we identified what are our challenges to getting there. The third thing we did is we said, what can we do within a specific time frame to meet that objective? And we set October as our objective of getting to this integrated level. And then we formed a joint team. So we have a team right now that's got Army, Navy, Air Force, agency, and activity membership on it trying to solve this problem. Because once they solve it, everybody benefits. No one's voice is left out. Everybody's invited to the table. When we get done with, when we solve this problem, anybody within the Department of Defense will be able to go to one place and research, shop, surf, whatever, to find out who else is doing what kind of projects. Is anybody doing what I'm working on? And, you know, what lessons can I learn? Who are the POCs? Who can I talk to? Who would I like to invite to be on my team because they've already been part of a successful project? So we are working toward that end, and October has been our deadline when we will brief the Deputy Secretary on where we are on achieving that goal.
And as you said, this is not only an accelerator for the Lean Six Sigma program, but it also serves as creating that institutional knowledge and memory so as folks rotate through their positions, all that knowledge and information isn't lost.
Right. Lean Six Sigma is not the do-all, end-all. It's a tool to get to a better organization that has access to that kind of information that can be applied way beyond just using it for a project.
What does the future hold for DoD's Lean Six Sigma Program Office? We will ask J.D. Cecilia, Director of the Lean Six Sigma Program Office, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.